This week on Out of Chicago, a review of the Olympus EM10, an interview with Michael Steven of Outside the Loop Radio, and photographing reflections. Welcome to Out of Chicago. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and this is the show where we talk about the Chicago photo experience. We talk about city photography of all kinds. Really, we'll talk about any type of photography if it's of interest to you in and around Chicago or really anywhere. So here we go. The first thing I want to remind you about is Art Wolf. He's coming to Chicago this weekend, July 12th, and we'll be there for it. There'll be a lot of people from out of Chicago there. And afterward, we may even do a little bit of a walk or a tour. I don't know. So look, follow the website. You'll see this week. We'll post something. But Art Wolf, this Saturday, he'll be at Loyola University. So I hope to see you there. Now, the first big thing on this week's agenda is the review of the Olympus EM10. This is the newest camera that I have. And lately, actually, I've kind of slowed down on buying new cameras and lenses, but this one is my first mirrorless camera, and I like it quite a bit. So as far as the Olympus cameras go, this is not the top of the line. The EM1 is the larger one and really the top of the line, but the newest one is the EM10. It's nice and small, but it has almost all the same features of the EM1. Maybe some of the differences are that it's not weather sealed and the frame rate's not the same. But other than that, the image quality is pretty much exactly the same and has pretty much all the same features that you'll find in the EM1. So overall, I'd kind of recommend the EM10. I love it. And the price is a lot better, maybe $700 instead of like $1,200. So a big price difference as well. Now, I really like the camera. I think it's great in a lot of ways, and I've used it a couple of times lately where it's really worked out well. For instance, we went to a wedding. It was actually at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago. That was really cool. If you've shot the staircase there before, you know that's a lot of fun. So I was able to go to a wedding, not have to carry the big, huge camera bag. I just kind of looked like I just want to shoot some pictures of the bride and groom, but I had a really nice camera with me. I had the EM10. And so I was able to get some great shots. I had the 17mm lens on it. I guess I should talk about that. I have two lenses right now. I have the 17mm 1.8, which is super, super tiny. And I also have the 40-150. And when I'm shooting like architecture details down in the city, that's really all I need. It's got built-in image stabilization, the EM10 does. So the it doesn't need to be a super fast lens, especially you're walking around during the day. 40-150, it's a really good lens. So those two together have gotten me a long way. In the future, I hope to get like the 75-1.8. I hope to get maybe the 12-40mm, the 2.8. But for right now, that 17 and the 40-150, those are really doing it for me. So like I said, I'm at this wedding, real good time, tiny, tiny camera, and I got some amazing shots because the image quality on this thing is excellent. It is, if you compare it to like my Canon 6D, the image quality, especially at like the high ISOs, it's not the same. I mean, it's a small micro four thirds sensor compared to a full frame camera like the Canon 6D. But it gives amazing image quality for having that size of a sensor. So to be able to have a small camera like that with really tiny lenses and to get, you know, I'd give it on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it like 8, 8.5, whereas my 6D, it's like 9, 9.5. So you're almost right there. I mean, you can't do a whole lot better than that. So I love the tiny camera for that reason. So the main reasons I got it were to take it to events like that, to take it when I'm going to do family photos. Basically, you know, my family, so we're out, you know, we're going to a carnival in the summer or we're going out to the petting zoo or whatever it might be. It's an awesome lens for that and it's nice and small and it's easy to maybe not shove in the pocket unless you've got like big cargo shorts or something, but it's a nice lens. It's very easy to carry. I put like a little strap on, a little wrist strap so I can just keep it around my wrist and not worry about it falling. And it works great in those situations. The other big reason I wanted it was to shoot discreetly. So I'm down at the University of Chicago, and I wanted to get through some buildings and get some shots there. But I don't want to look like I'm this professional photographer with the huge tripod and you know, big lens and the big camera and everything. So I bring the EM10. If anyone sees me, and they did, they're like, you know, just getting a couple of snapshots. But to me, I'm getting great shots, and I'm able to do all of the things, all have all the features that I have on those bigger cameras, all in this small package. So for all those things, I love it. I love that camera. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I'm not the biggest fan of the camera. One is that when we were down at the University of Chicago for our tour, and then we were using it later that night after it was dark, I didn't really like it for night photography. It wasn't terrible, but like I said, the high ISOs aren't great. If you're if you're on a tripod, I suppose that shouldn't matter. But even when you're shooting it at like 400 or 800, I just didn't think it turned out that great. It's an excellent camera, but the night photography aspect of it, that really kind of brought it down for me. I don't know how to explain that. Maybe it's because I don't really like shooting it on a tripod, actually. Maybe that's what I should say, is that I wasn't a fan of shooting it on a tripod. I don't have like the really right stuff, L bracket for it. I've just got I'm using like my travel tripod, which I'm not as used to, and it has just the bracket on the bottom of it. So maybe that was kind of it, is I just felt like I was fiddling with it all night, but I didn't really like it as much. The other big downfall for me is that I don't like the aspect ratio near as much, especially for like landscape type shots. The aspect ratio, it's micro four thirds. It's 4:3 instead of the 3:2. So I'm a big fan of the regular like widescreen kind of aspect ratio. This one's a lot taller. When you're looking at like a landscape image, it's a lot taller. It's a lot closer to being perfectly square than a regular DSLR. Now, you might say that you can change that aspect ratio in the camera or that you can crop it afterward, and both those things are true, but essentially what you're doing is you're losing the top and the bottom of the image in landscape mode, and you're just cropping away more pixels. So if you're already looking at a smaller megapixel image, like 16 megapixels instead of 20 so, then you're starting with less megapixels and you're cropping even more away. So if you're looking at it for shooting off of a tripod, using it for landscape shooting, I actually think it's not the right choice. I think that the right choice is to stick with a DSLR or look at some of the other options like the Fuji X-T1 or maybe even like the Sony A7R that has 36 megapixels. If you're shooting landscapes, if you're shooting on a tripod, I think those are better options. If you're shooting and you want to shoot quick because it's got great autofocus, so the EM10 has great autofocus, so does the EM1. If you're shooting like street photography, I think it's a great option. If you're shooting a lot of family and portrait type shots, I think it's a great option. So look at it for those things. But if you're shooting a lot of landscape, night photography stuff, or you're using a tripod, I think it's okay. But I think from here on out, I'm probably going to bring my Canon whenever I'm doing that kind of shooting. And I'm going to leave the other one for shooting during the day handheld. Actually, when it gets down to it, the main thing may be that when I'm shooting handheld, I'm going to use that mirrorless camera, and when I'm shooting on a tripod, I'll use my Canon. This week on the show, we have Mike Steven. He is the host and producer of Outside the Loop Radio. It's Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. It's on WLUW-FM 88.7, and he's got the podcast on his site as well. So welcome, Mike. Thanks for being on the show.
Chris, it is so exciting for me to do your show.
Yeah, and like you said before, you're not used to being on the other side of this, are you?
No, this is weird because usually I'm the one asking questions and, you know, introing the guest and hosting the show. And now I'm just like kicking back in the OTL Bunker studio. You know, I've got the robe on, I got a cup of coffee, and I'm just here to talk about photography and Outside the Loop.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I got to name my bunker too. I like that.
yeah, it's a real big landmark, let me tell you, in Chicago.
No, I've heard all about it for sure. Everyone has. So tell us a little bit about the background of your show. How long it's been running? I just saw I was on your show last week. Mm-hmm. It was the 401st episode, so over 400 episodes. Tell us about it.
Yeah, 400 episodes, over 400 episodes now. Outside the Loop has been going for 7.5 years, just about 7.5 years. We'll have the 8th anniversary at the end of September this year.
That's amazing.
It's frightening. But the show, I call it Chicago's Almost Above Ground Audio Magazine. And basically what that means is that I'm talking about stuff that doesn't normally get mainstream media attention. So it's usually the stuff that you're not going to read on the front page of the Chicago Tribune or the Sun-Times, or maybe not even in those newspapers at all. It's stuff that is very ground level and or just issues that I feel are important that aren't getting a lot of discussion that I think we should be talking more about. And that ranges from issues like crime, you know, social issues to events that are happening in Chicago, cool theater and art. I mean, there's really no shortage of content when it comes to Chicago when you're doing a show like Outside the Loop. So that's great for me to highlight some of the things that I really think help define Chicago. And that's really one of the reasons why I started it, is because I wanted a show about Chicago. I wanted a show that was fun, that wasn't pretentious, you know, had a human connection, that being me, because I'm just like everyone else trying to understand what is happening here in the city and experiencing things like everybody else. I certainly don't know everything about Chicago, but I'm really anxious and willing and excited to get conversations about these things that help define the city.
Yeah, I love the show. I mean, I shouldn't say this, but I hate watching like the news or whatever. I mean, I don't need to hear about another murder and you know, whatever the famous people are getting in trouble for or whatever. Right. But what you're talking about on your show is, I mean, it's just what, you know, most people want to hear about, the things that apply to their everyday lives. It's not like it's like, you call it almost above ground. So you might think like, oh, it's like an underground, like it's a bunch of hippies in Chicago. But it's like, this is like the normal stuff that most people want to hear about in the city.
Yeah, you think about it. It's like, think about if you walked into a bar, I always say this, and you sat down at the stool and you had a beer, you had a drink with, you know, someone that you just met. And maybe you're a doctor and that person is a sanitation engineer. Or, you know, maybe you are a teacher and you're meeting a cop, and it's people that maybe you wouldn't normally talk to on the street. And that's sort of what this is. It's things you might not have thought about, or things that maybe you've heard about in the news or in passing or read about. And we're kind of going a little deeper. It's a conversation driven show, and it's just a lot of fun. And that's part of it, too, is I'm having fun, you know, and it's not it's not, like I said, pretentious. It's educational, I think, but it's very fun. It's very Chicago.
Yeah, no, I love it, and I feel the same way I mean, I've just started on my podcast and show here, but I feel the same way. It's like these people that I would love to just pick their brain about something I would never get a chance to talk to, you know, talk with them about, while we're doing it, we'll record it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is, I think people are interested. They're willing. They're hungry to experience this sort of thing. You know, I mean, it goes with photography too. I had you on my show. And I love, of course, I had a conversation with you about photography. And I'm someone who is by no means a professional photographer, but I took up this hobby much like you have.
Yeah.
You've been doing it a little bit longer, but I just love
not
it.
Much.
And a lot of people are in the same boat. And I think if you relate to those individuals on that level, then that's a really special connection, and people will be into what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, just as far as our show goes, yeah, we're not trying to reach out necessarily to those pros. We're just trying to get the people that love to shoot and love to get out there and do it because they love it, and kind of get together and find some of the best places. So let's talk about that.
Sure.
What are you're the host of Chicago's Almost Above Ground audio magazine? So give us some almost above ground places to go shoot in the city. What are some of your favorite places besides, you know, the Bean or whatever?
Yeah, no, I've never actually taken my DSLR to the Bean. I've never
shot
there. Yeah, I know it's something. It's funny because one of the reasons why I really think Chicago is an interesting place is. And I say it like this. It's a city that has a lot of nooks and crannies. So there are a lot of things going on. And that's, you know, again, what I do with Outside the Loop. I'm sort of talking about what's going on in the nooks and crannies of culture, of politics, things like that. And that's kind of where I like to shoot. I love, there's some awesome pictures you can shoot in alleys of Chicago. I love shooting alleys. And it sounds weird because, let's be honest, there are a lot of crappy alleys in Chicago. But you can really, even if you take like a wide angle shot, and you go back into Photoshop later and you start, you know, punching in and cropping and zooming in, you'll find some just interesting things, like the stuff that people put out in the alleys for garbage pickup.
Sure.
TVs and vacuums and things like that. I mean, I have seen through my viewfinder just really cool perspective shots like that. So I love shooting in alleys. I think that's really neat. I also think that when you walk in a neighborhood, and I'm not talking about walking downtown or anything like that, get out of that area and get into a neighborhood and look up, because so many of these buildings in the neighborhoods are really old. Granted, they have probably been rehabbed over the years, but especially like in West Town and Ukrainian Village, if you look up at the detailing of some of the buildings, like the residential buildings in these neighborhoods, there is some incredible and beautiful and historical architectural detail that we always forget about because we're always just looking straight or we're looking down. We're never looking up. And I think it's important sometimes in your own city, you got to look up, maybe even, you know, be a tourist a little bit in your own city and kind of take in these neighborhoods, because there's so much to take in.
Yeah. So give us a couple other of your favorite neighborhoods to go to.
I love Rogers Park. I mean, that's where I sort of fell in love with Chicago, Rogers Park. I went to Loyola, and their Lakeshore campus is in Rogers Park. And you talk about just nooks and crannies and like little small alleys and passageways. I mean, that's Rogers Park, and it's an incredibly diverse neighborhood. And it's one of my favorite neighborhoods in Chicago, but there are some great vantage points when you're standing on the Morse Red Line L stop, because especially in the summer, you've got this incredible overgrowth of foliage that happens around there. And what you can get through your camera, if you look through the foliage, it's really neat. You can take some awesome pictures from up there and kind of get this aerial view. So Rogers Park is definitely a favorite of mine. And again, the alleys in Rogers Park and the homes. I mean, it's just you can be up there for days and still have more stuff to take pictures of. So Rogers Park for sure. I love Ravenswood as well to take pictures. The Wicker Park, I mean, that area has just exploded.
Yep.
And man, I think off the top of my head, that's
That's great. Probably, those are some places. Yeah, I need to check out, because you usually catch me down. I'm the one at the Bean, or I'm the one down inside the Loop. So
well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I always think people. It's funny because you and I had this conversation a little bit. You were joking that your photography conference was inside the Loop, and people will always say like, oh, you know, I heard about this, but you know, it's maybe too mainstream for you. Here's the thing. I'm not like an anti mainstream sort of person. I understand that there's mainstream, there's stuff that everyone knows about. I get it. And it's the same thing with photography. If you want to go take pictures of the Bean or the Lions outside of the Art Institute, more power to you. I mean, you're getting out there and you're doing photography, right? And that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be the one that's like, oh, well, you took such a mainstream picture. How could you? I think it's great. I mean, you know, take pictures wherever you want. That's kind of how you learn. I mean, you learn from your mistakes, right? I've done it for sure with radio for a long time. and the thing is, you learn from what you like and what you don't like, and you get your own voice. In this case, you get your own voice through your pictures.
Yeah. No, I agree. And how about some other things? Almost above ground. How about some events? What are some of your favorite things to shoot, events in the summer maybe coming up?
I love the street fests. I love smaller street fests, not again because I have to be outside the Loop, almost above ground, but just for the fact that I can move, that you can actually walk around and not, you know, slam into 25 people, especially if you are hauling a camera. I think it's Burger Fest that's in Roscoe Village. I think that's the one I'm thinking of. I mean, awesome, awesome festival, not too crowded, and you'll see all kinds of stuff. They've got music, they've got tons of burgers, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about food photography in a second. That's a great place to go shoot. Also, the cultural parades, like the Puerto Rican parade, that's a lot of fun. You know, Due Division has gotten so crazy. It's gotten so jam-packed and so popular, which is great, but I wouldn't advise taking a nicer camera in there because you run the risk of, I don't know, not losing it, but dropping it, or someone who's hammered spills beer on it or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, those are just off the top of my head. Also, you know what? I took a bunch of photography at the marathon last year.
Oh, interesting.
My sister-in-law ran it, and I actually did a bunch of video on my DSLR, and I switched over and did some stills. And the marathon, if you
get... Of the runners or of the spectators?
Of both. If you get out to, you know, like Chinatown, or you get, you know, down the line, like mile 17 or like around 15, you know, the crowds tend to thin out, and you can get some really cool pictures of the runners and of the spectators, because that's another... studying just society. Yeah, there's some characters out there.
No, that's great. This summer, I mean, people are going to want to get out, and sometimes you just don't think of things like Burger Fest or whatever.
Yeah, right. And it's just keeping your eyes open. I mean, I'm assuming that if you hear this, you're living in some sort of neighborhood in Chicago or maybe outside of Chicago, and every neighborhood has their own thing. So
right.
Keep your eyes open, and for God's sakes, get out there. If you don't go to the Taste of Chicago, I get it. Go to your neighborhood festival, because all of them, you know, they're there. And even if your neighborhood doesn't, I'm sure the neighborhood next door to you has something.
Right. So let's talk a little food photography. You said when I was on your show, that's really maybe your favorite thing to shoot is food. Is that right?
Well, it is now. I don't know. This thing just sort of happened. And really, it's because of the smartphones. You know, I have an iPhone. I have the Instagram app and Snapseed. And those are really great apps for just on the fly. You can make your pictures look really good. And I have always loved food. Make no secret about that. And
same here.
Here's what I did. I just started taking pictures of some of the like the more involved meals that I was having. Not just taking a picture of a banana, but taking a picture of like a really great fish dish I was having at a Mexican restaurant. Right. And adding a filter on that to make it look really cool, and cropping it and doing some effects and putting it out there. And I would do it on my Instagram account and on Twitter at Outside the Loop is the Twitter handle. There's the plug.
Very nice.
And on Facebook. And people really responded well. And now it's like people are asking me, hey, when are you going to put out another food pic? I'm thinking to myself, well, that's a great thing. All I'm doing is I'm going out to eat. And I'm taking a picture of the food, and people want to see what I'm eating, which I never thought in a million years I would ever say, but that's the case. And I just
sounds like a win-win-win.
Hey, everyone's winning, I guess, in this situation, yeah. Especially yours truly. And it's fun for me. I just like doing it. And you know, food's hot. People are really into food these days, especially the more peculiar the dish, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and Chicago's a great place to find those, right?
Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, you go to some great out-of-the-way restaurants, and people are saying, you know, where is that? I did a food pic today where I took a picture of a chorizo torta that I went to. I got at a Mexican grocery store right by where I live, and I had people asking me online, on social media, where is that taken? Where is that? Because that looks really good. This chorizo torta looks awesome. I want to go check it out. So for me, if I hear that, I mean, that's great, because people are getting curious about the city and want to check out different spots. And for me, that's what it's all about. You know, you get people inspired to explore their own city. And I think that's something we should all be doing.
Yeah, the food photography goes right along with everything else you're doing. I mean, that's what people want to see, is the great places to go eat too. So it's really cool.
Can you give us satisfied. One?
Say it again.
I'm satisfied with that physically, absolutely. Just because I'm full usually
exactly.
After that.
Give us one or two tips then when you're trying to do your food photography, because that's not always easy.
It's not always easy. And it's funny because I always, not always, but there's a lot of times where I will just forget. Like I'll be halfway through it and I'll be like, oh, this thing was so good. I should share this with everybody, but it's half gone. So I guess the first tip would be, if you want to do it, just remember to do it. Put your phone
shoot
on the
first,
table.
Eat later.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot first, eat later. you know, just like with photography, lighting is just huge. Again, it's like that with all other aspects of photography. But if you could take advantage of natural light in restaurants, that's great if it's during the day. I know if you're in a restaurant at night, it can be a little bit trickier.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I could use like a really cool ray of sun, or if there's a reflection that is front lighting, or you know, giving it a nice fill, I'll use that. I would just say be aware of your surroundings and even like what's in the background. I've been recently trying to get things in the background. So you've got the food in the foreground and then maybe something happening in the background. In this chorizo torta picture, for example, because we were in a Mexican grocery store, the background is this row of dishwasher detergent bottles. But what I did is I really saturated it. And so the saturation comes across really, really well on those dishwasher detergent bottles in the background. And it looks like there are these rows of like pink and yellow and green. And you can't even really tell that they're dishwasher detergent bottles. They look like just this really interesting background of pink, yellow, and green. So that's kind of an interesting tip too.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it's really interesting that the main things you bring up are you always have to watch your lighting, you know, see the light, and also watch your backgrounds. And it's funny that that same advice could be used if you're shooting portraits, if you're shooting wildlife, if you're shooting architecture, if you're shooting anything, it applies to all of them. And once you learn it in one, you can apply it to the others.
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, the same, I guess, in that sense across the board. It's also interesting if something's very hot and you get your lens really close, what's going to happen? It's going to fog up. I've had that happen a few times, and it's probably not good to put your lens in that situation, even if it's on a phone or if it's on your camera. So, there's that, but you know, even if you don't post the picture of food right away when you take it, a lot of times I will do that. I will take the picture, I will eat, and then later on I'll go back and post the picture after I have some time to do, I guess, what you would call post-production on it. You know, put some filters on it, crop it. A lot of times people will just take a picture of the food and just throw it up there unfiltered, untouched, which, again, totally fine. I just like to put some style to it.
That's good. So. That's good. No, you're making me hungry. This is great.
That's so, the point. It's working.
We got some good food tips. We know some places to go shoot this summer and some new places around the city. So this has been great, Mike. I really appreciate it. Your show is on Thursday mornings, 10 a.m. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Thursday mornings at 10 on WLUW-FM. That's 88.7. And, of course, any time of the day or night, at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. If you miss it on the air, I have all of the shows, all 400 plus shows up at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, as well as a ton of just links and information that I talk about every week and information on the show.
That's great. And we'll have links to your Twitter and all that too on our show notes. And thank you very much for joining us. This has been awesome.
Yeah, this has been great, Chris. Thank you for having me, and really keep doing what you're doing, because you're a brother in podcasting, and I think what you're doing here with photography and getting people into it and creating this community is awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, and I've got a little catching up to do to get through your 400. I listened to the 401st, so 400 more to go.
There you go. And I'll how about this? I'll be on your 400th show in 7.5 years.
All right. Yes. I can't even add it up. 2021. We'll see you then.
Book it.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Talk to you later.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye. So this has been a great new discovery for me, the Outside the Loop show. Go to OutsideTheLoop.com and you can listen to all those old episodes and find out about some new restaurants, some new events, some new things going on, and great stuff. So thank you to Michael Steven, and on to our last segment for the day. So in our last segment, I'm going to give you just one or two tips for photographing reflections. And specifically, I'm talking about reflections when you're out shooting in the city, shooting off a few different things. I think it's pretty common to look for reflections, like if you're looking at a building and people are walking in front of it and glass windows are there and you get reflections of the people, you know, that's kind of a normal thing. But the type of reflections I'm talking about are where you get really, really close to the object that is reflecting the light, and you can get some very cool mirror image type shots. So the reason this came up is that I've been doing a lot of shooting after the rain. It's been raining a lot the last few weeks here in Chicago. So we got out even after the Out of Chicago conference, our Saturday night photo walk. So we had to delay them a little bit for some huge storms coming through. But after 30 minutes, they cleared. We went out. But that's a great opportunity to find some puddles and get some great reflections. It was still blue hour. We were around the Berghoff, and the Berghoff has this wonderful sign out in front of it, the restaurant. And when you're shooting, if you get down super low by these puddles, you can get a reflection. You can see the sign and get a reflection of the sign. And it was kind of a cool shot. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But the main thing I think I already said here is that you need to get really, really close to the puddle. You can't be like 2 or 3 feet above the puddle if you want this to turn out really cool. You got to be like 2 or 3 inches above the puddle, or maybe less than that. I've done some like this where we were out at Fullerton. This was the Google Plus 2-year anniversary last year. And I remember I was laying down. There was a puddle there at Fullerton. If you can picture it, it's all those kind of, you know, cement blocks and everything by where all the pier pilings go out. But those fill up with puddles just from big waves or from a storm or anything. And I put my camera right down pretty much, well, really the bottom of it was touching the puddle. But what that does for you is that it gives you a huge amount of your frame as part of the reflection. So you're going to see, in that case, it was the city skyline all reflected. But in the case of the Berghoff, I'm shooting that and I'm getting a reflection of all the way down the street and the sign itself. And so it turned out really cool. But to do it, you got to get down really low. I recommend that you, well, first I recommend that you try and figure out where you want your camera to be before you set up your tripod. If you're shooting at night, you're going to have to use a tripod. But I would take my camera, I'd move it around. Rick Salmon's tip is use your camera like a spaceship. And so that means you're going to move it up, down, left, right, tip it up, tip it down, tip it left, tip it right, and move everywhere you can. Figure out exactly where the shot is, and then bring in your tripod and put it on underneath it. So that's what I did in this situation. I figured out exactly where I wanted it to be. Once I knew where that was, then I brought in the tripod, set it all up, and got it exactly right. I had to get my tripod legs extended outward as far as they could so I get it as low as I could. And that's another tip for another day, is that when you're looking for a new tripod, get one. You're always looking for one that goes high enough, but make sure you get one that goes really low if you like to do these types of shots. And that's me, is I always want to get down as low as I can. Actually, this reminds me back to one of the episodes from Art Wolf's Travels to the Edge. He was shooting Mount Fuji, and there was like a puddle in front of him, and he got down right in front of that puddle, just a couple inches above it, and was able to get an awesome shot. Actually, it was because of Art Wolf and watching him shoot all those that I ended up picking out the tripod that I did. It's the same Gitzo tripod that he uses, and it goes super low. It does not have a column, so you don't have to worry about it hitting the ground. You can extend those legs almost out, straight out, left and right, and it can get just a couple inches above the water. So if you're shooting a reflection, like in a puddle, that's what you want to do, is you want to get as low as you possibly can. Now, you'd be surprised, but you can do the exact same thing. This sounds crazy, but in a smooth, polished granite park bench, you can do the exact same thing. You put your camera right above that, and actually in that case, you can set up your tripod a little bit higher so that it's on the ground and your camera is just above the level of the granite bench. And you can get really cool reflections there too. You can find them all over Chicago, but one place is around the Calder Flamingo, you know, by the federal building there. If you go there, set up by one of those granite benches, you can get really cool reflections off the granite. It doesn't need to be wet. It's just smooth enough, and you'd be surprised. Just move your eyes around. Move them down low, just a few inches above the granite bench, and you'll see. You can see the reflection of the flamingo in it. Now do the same thing, but put your camera there, set it up on your tripod, and take the shot. Once you get that technique down, now you can try it all over the place. You get some really neat shots from all over Chicago, all over whatever city you happen to be in. But that's a great idea. Now, I got this from, you know, one of the guys that I love to follow is Seth Oliver on Flickr. The link is in the show notes. But Seth Oliver does a great job of doing reflections off puddles and off granite benches. And the third one thing we're going to talk about is just off of windows, but not your typical reflection like shooting straight at it. but actually taking your camera and putting it pretty much right up on the window so it's facing along the plane of the window. And what this does for you is that your camera will view, you know, half, like the left-hand side of the shot maybe, will be the actual straight-on image, but then the right half will be a mirror image of what you're seeing. And you get a really cool-looking kind of mirrored effect, seeing both halves of it. Now, to get that to work, you're probably not going to use a tripod because you're going to take your camera and you're going to basically put the bottom of it, turn it sideways so that it's taking like a portrait-oriented shot, and put the bottom of the camera right up on the glass and get it real nice and sturdy, and then take your shot right there. And if you do this in the right situation, you get some really, really cool shots. And I'll put a couple links to some shots that I've done that I've got on my Flickr where you do that. So three different areas where you can get some cool reflection shots. If you're going out and you're like, man, I keep getting the same shots all the time, I don't know what to do to make it a little bit different, that's a few ideas. Look for puddles, look for those granite park benches, and look for windows and buildings. That'll be an easy one. Come up with an interesting composition using that and get kind of a mirrored image. So there's a few ideas to try something different. And that's it for this week. Thank you to those that have gone and left a review on iTunes. I think there's 16 people at this point that have gone. You've all left nice reviews, maybe a couple of constructive comments too. I appreciate that. Or just send them to me at chris@outofchicago.com. But it really helps the show and helps the visibility on iTunes if you go and leave a review. When you're a new podcast, you only have 8 weeks to get on the new and noteworthy list. And I think we just have a couple of weeks left here. So please go on there, leave a review. I've been trying really, really hard, but no matter what we do, no matter how many people listen, I just can't happen to catch Gilbert Gottfried and his new podcast. So please, a couple more, and I'd really appreciate it. We have passed the Full House review podcast, so that's a good thing, but let's catch Gilbert too. Thank you very much.